Hello friends, today we are going to discuss about the customs clearance procedures. Of course, there are four chapters on a continuity basis as far as clearance procedures are concerned. And the first one, chapter number four, that we are dealing with now under the Import-Export Management regulatory functions is that customs acting as trade facilitators. And as you will observe in the very first slide, this is taken from the customs ICE gate directly. That is customs faceless assessment and clearance procedure. That is the objective of the entire custom clearance procedures. It basically means that we are now no more required to go to the customs house or any other customs station, port, international airport, etc., etc., for clearance of import or export consignments. It is all done faceless. Now, today we will discuss only the overall customs, not the procedure actually, but the overview of the customs department as a whole. And what are the trade facilitating procedures which are available with the customs? Let us now look at the overview itself directly. That is Government of India. We have got Ministry of Trade and Industry. That is Department of Foreign Trade. Under them, we have got the Director General of Foreign Trade, where we get the Importer-Exporter Code, License or Permit or Quota, Export Promotion Benefits and Schemes. Next, you have got the second ministry as Ministry of Finance, that is the Department of Revenue. And under Department of Revenue, we have got, first of all, the Income Tax Department, where you are required to obtain a PAN card. That is a compulsory procedure. Next is the Reserve Bank of India, which controls the entire foreign exchange inflow and outflow. And the next is the CBIC, Central Board of Indirect Taxes and Customs. Here we will be getting revenue, that is duty collection, prevention of smuggling, then all prohibitions, which I have explained to you in chapter number one already, and then the entire facilitation of import-export custom clearance procedures. These are the aspects which we will now look into. First of all, let us try to understand what is the CBIC. This is the apex body as far as all customs activities are concerned. Of course, GST is also included over here. Now, this is under the Department of Revenue, Ministry of Finance, Government of India, as I've already explained to you. It deals with the task of formulation of policy for levy and collection of duties, that is the customs duties, central goods and service tax, prevention of smuggling. It also deals with all the administrative of matters relating to customs, CGST, and narcotics, of course. The board is basically an administrative authority for all its subordinate organizations, which includes the customs, CGST, and the Central Revenue Control Laboratories. These are the subordinate authorities, subordinate organizations under CBIC. As far as the board itself is concerned, we have a chairman. We have a member for GST and tax policy. We have a member for customs. This member for customs is directly controlling all the custom clearance procedures all the rules, regulations related, all the instructions being granted, given to the customs officers down the line as far as our clearance procedures are concerned. That is, this member customs is the head. Next, we have the member central excise, service tax and legal matters. We have the member of administration and vigilance. We have member in investigation. We have a member of income tax and taxpayer services. That means large taxpayer services, special services being granted to them. Now, these members are all quasi-judicial authorities. That means they have a technical function on the one side as far as entire administration of CBIC, customs and GST is concerned. But they are also judicial matters. They are also judicial authorities, that is, acting as judges also as per requirements. When we look at the subordinate formations as far as CBIC is concerned, there are various subordinate organizations under CBIC. That is, starting from Narcotics Control Bureau, Enforcement Directorate, the SESTAT. SESTAT is an appellate tribunal, Customs, Excise and Service Tax Appellate Tribunal. It looks after the judicial matters of all customs-related matters. Next, you have the Controller of Explosives, Chief Controller of Factories, the Competent Authorities, Protected Monuments and Heritages. Then we have the Settlement Commissioner, the Authority for Advance Ruling. As a continuation of the subordinate office. Now, the previous one were the formations. They are independent formations. But the offices of the CBIC down the line, we have Director General of Analytics and Risk Management, Director General of Anti-Profiteering, National Anti-Profiteering Authority of GST, Director General of Audit, Director General of Export Promotion, Director General of GST Intelligence, Director General of Goods and Service Tax, Director General of Human Resource Development, National Academy of Customs, Indirect Taxes and Narcotics. This is an institute who train the customs officers as far as their functions are concerned, and who also train the staff of the custom brokers, private organizations who look after the custom clearance work. Then we have the Director General of Performance Management. We have Director General of Systems and Data Management. We have Director General of Taxpayer Services. This Director General looks after giving special facilities to all large taxpayers. That means those who are paying more than a crore rupees duty every year continuously. Next, we have Director General of Valuation, Director General of Vigilance, Director General of Revenue Intelligence, Director General of International Customs. Now, our Indian customs are directly connected with the international customs, known as World Customs Organization. World Customs Organization is a body comprising all the customs organization in all the other countries throughout the world. And we, being a member of WCO, we in India, we have got a Directorate of International Customs. Then we have a Directorate of Data Management, Directorate of Logistics, Directorate of Legal Affairs, then Central Revenues Control Laboratories. Now, these are all the formations which I am giving you for your overall understanding of what the Customs Department as a whole is on an all-India level. We are looking at an all-India level right from top to bottom. When we look at the field formations for our custom clearance purposes. We have at the head CBIC member customs. We have Director General of Customs. Then we have Principal Chief Commissioners of Customs. And we have Chief Commissioners of Customs of the respective zones. Now, Principal Chief Commissioners of Customs and Chief Commissioners of Customs of Zones, they are, the post is somewhat similar, but group of each zone, they have a Principal Chief Commissioner amongst the Chief Commissioners of the zones, who act as a board coordinator for all the Chief Commissioners of that particular group of zones for liaisoning with the Director General and CBIC member customs. They are a link of connection between the group of Chief Commissioners of the zone and the CBIC board. Next, we have got various custom zones. All the customs formations, custom stations that you see throughout India, they are divided into zones. And right from, of course, this is alphabetically listed out. You have got the Ahmedabad zone, you have got Bangalore zone, Chennai zone, Delhi preventive zone, then Kolkata zone, Mumbai, because Mumbai is the largest collector of government revenue as far as customs and GST is concerned. And that is why Mumbai zone has got three zones. That is, one is Mumbai proper, office situated at Ballard Estate. Next, you have got Mumbai zone 2, that is the Nawashewa Uran Customs. And third, you have got Mumbai zone 3 at Mumbai Airport. Then we have a Patna zone. The Patna zone looks after the border stations of the Nepal border also. Kolkata zone looks after the border stations of West Bengal also, land custom station connected with West Bengal. And last, we have got the Trichurapalli zone down south. That is a preventive zone. When we look at the Chief Commissioners of Customs, then down the line, first we start with Thiruvananthapuram zone. We have a Chief Commissioners of Customs in Cochin and Commissioner of Customs Preventive at Cochin itself. Cochin is a very large port as far as Indian international ports are concerned. It also has got an international airport. Next, you have the Guwahati zone, where you have got the Commissioner of Customs Preventive in Shillong, which also looks after the land customs station between India and Bangladesh on the one side and India and Myanmar. We have got land connection with Myanmar also. So that is the Guwahati zone looks after these land custom stations also. Next, we have got the Hyderabad zone, where we have a Principal Commissioner of Customs at Hyderabad. Bhubaneswar zone, we have got the Commissioner of Customs Preventive Bhubaneswar. Meerut zone has got a Principal Commissioner of Customs at Noida. Visakhapatnam zone has got Principal Commissioner of Customs at Visakhapatnam and Commissioner of Customs that is preventive at Vijayawada. Look at Pune zone. We have Commissioner of Customs Pune and Commissioner of Customs at Goa. Nagpur zone, we have Commissioner of Customs at Nagpur. Bhopal zone has got Commissioner of Customs at Indore. Next, we have got the preventive zones. Now, let me explain to you how the custom department actually works. The custom department has got two main functions. Primary function is collection of government revenue. That is handled by the appraisement and assessment sections. And Secondary is prevention of smuggling. That is handled by the preventive sections of the Customs Department. So you have assessment and appraisement for revenue collection. You have preventive sections for anti-smuggling operations. Of course, at certain points, there is an overlapping also between the two. But primary, the division of the work is in this particular way. Now, the previous zones which I have explained to you, they were all connected with the assessment and appraising for duty purposes. We are now going to look at the preventive zones. Which are the preventive zones? And there we have got Chief Commissioner of Customs Preventive at Delhi. We have got Principal Commissioner of Customs Preventive again at Delhi. We have Commissioner of Customs Preventive at Amritsar. And this Amritsar Preventive Customs looks after the Wagha border, especially all the borders with Pakistan. Next, we have Commissioner of Customs Preventive at Jodhpur and Commissioner of Customs at Ludhiana. Next, you have got Chief Commissioner of Customs Preventive at Patna. Here, Commissioner of Customs Preventive Patna looks after Nepal border also, apart from internally. And Commissioner of Customs Preventive Lucknow looks after entire UP area commissionerate. Next, you have got Chief Commissioner of Customs Preventive at Trichinopoly, Commissioner of Customs Preventive at Trichinopoly, and Commissioner of Customs at Tuticorin. Tuticorin is the southernmost port in India. It's a big international port. Apart from this, they are all zone-wise. All these offices are on zone-wise basis. But there are certain officers who are having jurisdictions over the whole of India, though they are stationed at one particular point, but they have a jurisdiction over whole of India. And there are two aspects. One is adjudication and another is for audit. Adjudication means any custom officer files a case against the trade, importers, exporters. They adjudicate and file the case. So such adjudication officers who are having the jurisdiction over the whole of India, there is one, we have Commissioner of Customs Adjudication at Delhi, and second is Commissioner of Customs Adjudication at Mumbai. These are the only two authorities who are having jurisdiction for adjudication of cases of large companies throughout India. Next, as far as audit is concerned, Principal Commissioner of Customs Audit or Commissioner of Customs Audit, who are all posted at Chennai, Delhi, Mumbai, and Nawashiva. Four stations. They have jurisdiction over the whole of India. That means they can look after the cases in the other zones also, sitting at Mumbai or Nawashiva or Delhi or Chennai. Now, let us look at the Customs Act. Prior to the Customs Act, there were different types of acts, but 1962 government enacted the Customs Act. The Customs Act 1962 is an act of parliament. That means parliament has passed the act. That was Act of 52, Act number 52 of 1962. Passed by Parliament on 13th December 1962 and made effective from 1st February 1963. This Customs Act has got 17 chapters, chapter number 1 to chapter number 17. And these chapters are again subdivided into sections. There are a total of 161 sections, section 1 to 161. Now, all the acts which were concerned with the custom clearance work prior to Custom Act 1962 were repealed by this act. And those were one whole Sea Customs Act of 1878, Inland Bonded Warehouse Act of 1896, Land Customs Act of 1924, and only Section Number 16 of the Aircraft Act 1934. Aircraft Act 1934 is still in existence today, minus this Section 16. And controlling authority of under the Aircraft Act is DGCA, Director General of Civil Aviation, who is the authority for all planes flying through India and other foreign planes also coming India. They are the controlling authority. Section 16 was connected with the clearance, air cargo clearance, that has been merged with the Customs Act. When we look at the key customs functions, as I told you, explanation, first is levy and collection of customs duty. Second is prevention of customs and combating evasion of duties and service tax. And since they are connected with our international borders, enforcement of border control on goods and conveyances. These are the three primary functions. As a corollary to these primary functions, there are other service functions, that is clearance of international passengers and their baggage. International airports, even the international ports, passengers are coming and going, whether Indian passengers or foreign passengers who are going out on foreign or coming from foreign countries over here. Their clearance and their baggage clearance are looked after by the international passengers of and their baggage by the same customs department. Registering and monitoring of units manufacturing excisable goods and service providers. That means goods being manufactured for export promotion. For export only. There are special export-oriented units. They are registered and monitored by the Customs Department. Then all receipts and scrutiny of declarations and returns filed with the department, resolution of disputes through administrative and legal measures, realization of areas of revenue, and finally audit of assessments for ensuring tax compliance. These are all key functions as a corollary to the main three functions. I showed you in the first slide itself, faceless facilitation, faceless clearance procedure. That is the customs automation. As you can see over here, that as of today, we don't have to take our documents to the customs department. We don't have to go to the customs department. Everything is done from our systems, from our computer or laptop systems, directly into the customs computer and laptop systems. Customs have got a wide system as far as their automation is concerned. Responses are directly online itself. This is total automation. Let us try to understand how and why we are a member of the World Customs Organization, and World Customs Organization has insisted on the International Convention on the Simplification and Harmonization of Customs Procedures, brought several key governing principles to promote the trade facilitation and effective control. What WCO has said that yes, you have got to have control, but you have got to look after the trade facilitation first and then effective control, so that the trade members of importers and exporters are not harassed. So granting of trade facilitation is by virtue of there was an international convention on simplification and harmonization of custom procedures. Now, this harmonization means that same procedures are prevalent in all the custom stations throughout the world. Whatever classification is available over here, it's available at the other countries also. Whatever procedures are available over here, they are available at the other countries also. So there is a standardization of custom procedures. And what are the measures effectively taken is that there should be transparent and predictable customs control. Whatever control customs want to give, it has got to be very transparent and very predictable. Then there has got to be standardization and simplification of all the goods declaration and supporting documents. As I explained to you in chapter number 2, that we have got only 3 documents only as far as import and export clearance is concerned. So those documents have been standardized. And therefore, that standardization has simplified the procedure. We have got to act on the basis of only those documents. Simplified procedures for authorized persons. Now, this basically means that this simplified procedure is not for every Tom, Dick and Harry. Only authorized persons who are duly authorized by the Customs Department will have the simplified procedure. Maximum use of information technology. Minimum necessary customs control to ensure compliance with the regulations. Those controls have got to be minimum control. And that has got to be by the use of risk management and the audit-based controls. Not on a day-to-day harassment basis. System of risk management and audit controls. And then, of course, I explained to you again in chapter number 1 also, coordinate intervention with other agencies. That is the agencies connected with the allied acts. They were also required to coordinate in the same system with the Customs Department, online itself, not on face-to-face or document handling. It's direct documents through the system, computerized system. And above all, what WCO says that we have got to act as a partnership with the trade. We should not lord over the trade. We should not harass them. But we have got to be a partnership with the trade. And that is the objective behind giving all these facilitations as far as the custom clearance is concerned. They brought about the Indian Customs electronic system. This is designed to exchange or transact custom clearance electronically using EDI or electronic data exchange. Only data is required to be exchanged electronically, computer to computer system. Now, this ICS has got 2 aspects. The first aspect was the internal automation of the entire custom house. Not only one particular custom house, but all the custom houses throughout India, right up to CBIC board level and up to the point of final clearance of import-export cargo. They are all automated, comprehensive, paperless, and fully automated custom clearance system is already set in place. And this makes the functioning of custom clearance very transparent. Next part was the online real-time electronic interface with the trade. Trade meant with importers, exporters, other allied agencies, with the other trade promotion bodies as far as export-import is concerned. The transport authorities like the shipping companies and air lines. regulatory authorities, agencies under the Allied Act. All the authorities, all the agencies concerned with customs clearance of import and export cargo, they were all required to automate themselves and align their automation with the customs ICES. How is this brought about? Major advantage was the paperless office, fast track clearance, a very transparent system, lesser interactions with the customs officers, no face-to-face interactions. Simplified procedures, all procedures are simplified now. Single point data entry. Through ICET, there is a single point of data entry into the customs computer system, into the ICES. And then there is an inbuilt management information system in the ICES itself. If we look at this ICES connectivity chart, at the center is the ICES, and it is right around import exporters, custom brokers are connected with ICES, all trade bodies are connected, agents like shipping agents and air cargo agents are connected to ICES, all custodians of warehouses, custom bonded warehouses, including CFS, including ICDs, are connected with ICES. DGFT is connected with ICES. All banks, authorized dealers in foreign exchange, which are dealing in foreign exchange for import export foreign exchange, they are connected with ICES. RBI is also directly connected. DGCIS is also directly connected. That all customs information system is also directly connected with ICES. If the trade wants any information for their clearance as far as the shipping company or airline is concerned, like the primary requirement was the import general manifest or export general manifest number and line number or item number for their particular product connected with their bill of lading or airway bill. Whatever they wanted to collect. Previously, they were required to send a representative to the shipping agents or airline agents and get that number. And after getting it physically, then come to customs. But today, they don't have to do that. They go directly to ICES. Why? Because prior to everything, the shipping agents and airline agents have already filed the IGM. And through ICES, it is given to importers, exporters, and custom brokers also. So there is entire link chain is through this central point of ICES. Thank you.